Gary Brooker vs. Stephen Paul. Fight! Joe Buka wins. Finish him. Play mortality.
Are you ready to fight? Musky Fight Juice!
Musky Fight Juice, the unofficial, official, semi-official, barely legal energy drink of the Musky 360 podcast.
Get turned up! Crank up the volume on your figure eights and make them great with Musky Fight Juice!
Musky Fight Juice is banned in the following countries: the United States, Canada, Syria, Croatia, and Colombia. But you can get your contraband collector's can at the Musky Shop Bash, July 15th.
Are you mad? Musky Fight Juice includes the following ingredients: blood of the ancient ones,
the tears of the Kraken,
and volcano.
Side effects of Musky Fight Juice may include
fighting,
poor lure choice,
Minocqua syndrome,
compulsive bait changing,
and uncontrollable bucktail burning.
If you or someone you know is suffering from Musky Fight Juice withdrawal symptoms, get your can of Musky Fight Juice. July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin, Musky Shop Ash.
All right, folks, welcome to the Musky 360 Podcast, Jaybird.
Hey, Steve.
You got your supply of fight juice lined up?
I do.
You do? How many cans are you going to have a day? 14?
It depends on the day, but, I mean, think about the bash. Think about what happened to poor Steve Herbeck last year.
Last year, he was
okay. Musky Thunder overdose.
You know, that we had to take the Thunder off the market because it was too much.
We had to take it off the market.
Then what happened? Me and Jay did a little workaround. We called our suppliers in Bogota. We got things amped up to the next level. So it is next level musky energy drink, Musky Fight Juice.
It's the greatest of all time. I mean, and it hasn't even hit the market yet. That's a bold statement.
It is. It's literally just Pine Sol and Tylenol. So the scientists, the Musky 360 laboratories came up with the ultimate recipe: 14 Tylenol and 12 ounces of Pine Sol.
And 8 grams of that taurine.
You feel nothing.
Yum, yum. No bitter aftertaste, though. I mean, it really is good.
Well, you don't taste anything when you're dead.
Good point.
So anyway, I assume the illustrious Elmer Jensen will be doing fight bombs in the parking lot.
Yeah, just like last year.
Turn it up
to 10 this year, though. Elmer's, he's psyched.
Oh my goodness. Show up to the Musky Shop Bash, July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin. If you need an autograph from the Quest for Titan superstar Elmer Jensen, he's also, his doppelganger, Little Elmer, will be there, Jay.
Yeah.
From Titan Jr. So, doesn't come out very often, right? It's hard to get Elmer Jr. Most people can't believe how small he is.
He's tiny.
Fits in the palm of your hand. Hey, good day, mate. He's a leprechaun. That's what leprechauns say, right, Jay? Good day, mate.
No.
Malarney.
No. Yeah, we're going to have a little red carpet section. And when I say little, I mean tiny.
Tiny.
It'll be a tiny little booth. You know, it'll be the Almer Jensen with those little mini knee there. So.
Yeah, I like the red carpet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, got that going on July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin, the bash. What's cool this year? We got the usual suspects. I'll be there. Jay will be there. Who cares? Boo!
Hello.
Herbie will be there.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to keep him off the fight juice, Jay. I make no promises.
He thought it was Diet Sprite or something that he was drinking.
Have you ever watched an orangutan freakout video?
Yeah, that's not good.
That's what happened last year. Jay and I, literally, we had Herbeck. Jay had his left arm. I had his right arm, right? Figure eight leg locks. We're holding him down. Still, we couldn't keep him down. He was just running amok. It was a tornado. It was like the
one word comes to mind. What's volcano. That?
Volcano. Steve Herbeck had the volcano.
Musky fight juice.
That's why an ingredient in musky fight juice is volcano. So if you're ready to get turned up and turned out, get you a can of musky fight juice. Oh, yeah. Jay?
Yes, sir.
The cream will rise to the top.
Always does.
Always does. So, fight juice. We're going to have it the bash. Herbie's going to be there. I'll be there. Boot Daddy will be there. The Smitties. Mm-hmm. But probably the coolest thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
Open up your mind, Jay. Open your mind, Quaid.
I'm there.
Randy Howe. How. This guy has won the biggest tournament there is to win. We'll be at the Muskie Shop Bash talking about fishing. Now, you go, this is a Muskie podcast. And I go, why? I think it is most of the time. Like 14% of the time we talk Muskie fishing. The rest of the time we're just idiots. But
true.
To learn about structure fishing, to learn what it takes to connect with trophy clash fish consistently, there's something to be learned there, because a lot of the best things I've ever stolen from people are from Bass World, Crappie World.
Yes, right.
Right. So it's going to be interesting. Somebody that's competing under that much pressure, it's like, yeah, they might catch 10 fish a day, but let's catch a fish that's worth $1 million.
Yep.
Your knees are knocking. Your heart's pounding. It's not pounded as much as if you drank 14 cans of musky fight juice, though.
You couldn't drink 14, but I mean, even if you had six of them, say, well, it'd be bad.
The thing is this, after clinical research, you can't see the other cans after you've had four. You can't find them. Someone has to bring them to you.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
You can't see the can. You've also, 3.5 cans, you've lost your ability to grab things.
It happens.
So, you know, be conscientious when you're on the fight juice, right? This is the energy you need to fight muskies in a can. Randy Howe will be there. It'll be interesting to hear what he's doing, because the reason he got the invite, he's a structure fisherman through and through. He's not a throw at the shallows and work a Senko. He's a crankbaiter. He's got some interesting things to sort of throw in there, which will be cool to learn from somebody that's a master of their craft. Take what he's saying. Maybe you're a basser. I'm not going to tell anybody. Jay, do you ever fish for bass? Shh.
I do.
You know, don't say that out loud, okay? We don't want anybody to think poorly of you. But maybe you're fishing bass. Maybe you want to learn structure. Maybe you want to learn cover, how he's working it. That's going to be interesting. So July 15th, Randy. How. Going to be at the bash. You know what? Speaking of Livingston, we're going to talk to my friend Eric. He had some good yucks from the Budapest trip coming up there. But what's the comings and goings this week at the Muskie Shop, Jay? I'm pulling her up here. What have we got here?
Yeah, we got a new it's kind of cool. It's a huge 6-inch wide by 60-inch long bump board decal.
Ah, for $12. $12.
You know, weather ready, weatherproof, huge, you know, you can custom make, you know, if you got something going and want to make your own bump board, or, you know, stick it in your boat somewhere, boom, there you go. It's a cool deal. So, yeah, got some other little gizmos coming in, and we got a ton of stuff again this week. Just
it
like,
never ends.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. As for really new stuff, we've talked about the bomb spinnerbait by Figure Eight, didn't we? A little bit.
Figure Eight, they got that. That's a weird, yeah, like kind of that's cycle, another cycle.
Yeah, I did a short on it, and it's like when you see it underwater, they intermittently hit each other, and the bottom one stops spinning. There's two segmented like individual arms on swivels. It's different.
That reminds me of me and you. Intermittently, we hit each other, and the bottom one stops fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So, wait till the bash. You're going down.
Square
up. I'm going to trip you.
Square up. Yeah, well, you'd have to fight dirty to beat me. Anyway, so the bomb from Figure Eight, that's Don. I talked to Don the other night. I called him.
Yeah?
I shouldn't have made phone calls. You've ever been like past the point of don't make phone calls? Take your phone away. Right? No more phone calls. Put your phone away. Put it on an airplane. I was in the mood to make phone calls. It didn't go well. I'm teasing. It went fine, but I shouldn't have made phone calls. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, Don, we're getting more meat grinders, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, it's by a blade the bash, issue. Yeah. He's going to have the meat grinders in. There's a secret color coming of Steve's meat grinder, right?
Oh, what is it?
I can't tell you that, but I can. Why? Tell you. Because it's a secret.
Oh,
it's blacker. All right. It's blacker than your soul, Jay.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so that's exciting. Very cool stuff going on. Anyway, I want to talk here. We got a bunch of Q&A. I'm going to talk about early Southern. What?
Who?
Hi. I'm going to talk early summer musky patterns. There's a lot of people writing in about musky patterning. But at first, I just want to have my good friend Eric on from Livingston. So here's the deal. At the end of this, I pop the question, Jay.
Okay.
Will you give away free stuff?
Hello.
What?
Who doesn't like free stuff?
That's better than will you marry me.
It is the best.
I popped the big question. So check it out, but visit livingstonlures.com. Send them an email. I don't care what you say. The funniest, weirdest email will win this. I promise, because I know Eric. He's a freak. Jaybird, guess who I dug up? Eric from Livingston Lures, my international travel partner. How you doing, Eric?
What's going on, guys?
Not Eric! Much, man. Yeah, Eric. So Eric chimed in, Jay. Last week, I was complaining about Heathrow Airport. Eric, tell them what really happened. Stephen Paul breakdown, you tell it so well.
No, it's just, look, it comes down to just very simple two words. I was caretaker. That's all we need to know. But, you know, between... flights and missing bags and missing phones and scraped elbows and knees. That's all I can say.
Yeah, somebody's got to be an adult. So it happens. So I forgot about the phone, dude. So what he's referring to is we get out of the cab. We've done the show. It's been a long day, right? And we say, drop us off in front of this fine dining establishment. It's just a restaurant. That'll serve anything else. We would never have anything else. And I jump out of the cab, and I get on the curb, and I tell Eric, I said, I'm going to grab some food before we get some beverages, if you will. And I go to get my phone, and my phone's gone. I go back to you, and I probably look like I was a ghost, right, Eric? I just look like I'm just falling over dead.
Yeah, I thought, you know, you were pretty, like, your eyes were bugged. But
you mean from the sheer look of panic? Because, you know, Steve without his phone is, like, you know, disastrous.
It was, and the first thing I did to Al Jay was, he was like, my boarding passes.
Fortunately.
It was pretty funny. It's actually miraculous. Is this app? It's like an Uber, but it's in Europe, and they're all taxis. So you can call the taxi after the fact. Which
now, are these cars or are they rickshaws?
No, they're So, yeah, no, their cars are nice. They're nice
packs. Okay, okay.
They got some Mercedes and some Peugeots. Yeah, so anyway, there's an option you can call these guys back, which I was floored because I actually was able to call the guy in the cab, but unfortunately, the guy spoke Hungarian. I don't speak Hungarian, but the passenger spoke English, so we were able to communicate. I was able to grab somebody on the sidewalk to communicate. We got the phone back.
We got my phone back. I am a giant child, everyone. I am a complete mess, and Eric's a testament to that. Anyway, we sort of teased last week. I said, you know, it was a great show. We did well at the FX show. That's why I gave you a shout. Sort of explain what happened there, how big that show is, Eric, and what's going on with Livingston right now with the Titan Jr. over there.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've been, you know, we pursued the market in 2017 and 19 in Europe, and we didn't have, you know, the product that their go-to stuff, right, that they're used to, that they're comfortable with. So now we've developed a few baits here in the last couple of years, and the Titan came along, and so we're expanding our reach throughout Europe. We've got three distributors already in Portugal, Spain, and France. And, you know, we're looking for further distribution in the Netherlands and the Balkans and all that good stuff. So, yeah, it was a great show. A lot of interest. One thing Jay Paul mentioned to me at the show, he's like, wow, I'm surprised that a lot of people know about Livingston in Europe. So it was, yeah. That was gratifying.
Yeah, gratifying to hear sure. That.
You know,
what's the attendance of that thing? Like Steve was talking, just tens of thousands of people go through that thing in like 3 days or something like that. Huh?
Yeah, you know, it's not as big as ICAST, but it's probably a lot more productive than ICAST, I would say. I'd say we probably had, it's mainly a distributor show, and then they finally opened it up to retailers. So, I mean, we had people from Romania, Russia, yeah.
Croatia,
all over Europe. You know, even the Greek, from Greece, from the islands, and so it commands. It's a great show. It's everybody and anybody in Europe that's building stuff and selling stuff, and so I would say, gosh, I don't know. We saw a shitload of distributors. Excuse my language, but I would say 20,000 people per day.
Absolutely. Big exposure, and it's one of the few American brands over there. It's not the Bassmasters, it's not ICAST, but it's a big thing. Eric, I teased when we were talking on, just so you've seen it, Jay hasn't seen it, the secret Livingston lures, the prototype bait that's in the works.
The thing you were throwing today, Steve?
Oh, yeah, and yesterday.
I've seen pictures, but that's it, yeah.
It's in the works.
That's fantastic. Yeah, Jay, I was in the office. He actually got them on Monday morning, FedEx. I think that Tuesday morning, or what did you
call it? Tuesday afternoon, yeah.
Tuesday afternoon, sorry. He called me. He's like, hey, just caught one. And like 5 minutes later, he called me. He's like, hey, I caught one. On the third call, I'm like, dude, okay, go for it. So we fell out.
Stop calling. Got another one today. It's cool. So we've got some fun stuff in the works. Eric, here's the thing, and we're going to put you on the spot. So we always do lightning round, or we do something goofy. If you guys want to check out a bait, head over to livingstonlures.com, right? Surely Eric can send somebody something. Send him a message through Livingston Lures. Go over to the website. Just tell him you love the podcast or how dumb me and Jay are, right? Whatever. Your best joke. I don't care what it is. Eric will decide who's going to get a little bit of a Livingston Lures prize pack in the mail. What do you think, Eric? That work for you?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so get over there. Harass him. Just say Steve's a baby. Whatever. Make up. You know what? Write your Steve and Hungry fan fiction. Whatever it takes. We've had people write novellas based on this. So send a message to Livingston Lures. Go over to livingstonlures.com. Check out what they got over there. Anyway, Eric, we love you. One of the biggest supporters of the podcast and everything we're doing here. We got a secret project in the works, guys. But it was just fun to talk about, Eric, about what we're going on. We'll talk to you again here soon, Big Doc.
Let's go.
Good stuff from the Eric there at the Livingston there, Gunter. What do you say?
Nice hearing from Eric. Absolutely.
Just sending the weirdest stuff you got, boys. Just
please do that. That'd
fire,
be great.
Fire away.
Just, free stuff.
Just bog him down with weirdness. Hey there. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend for a four-year-old that's fishing from the bank? You know, whatever you got.
Hit him with anything.
Hit him hard. Hit him heavy. So, like I said, a lot of people have been asking about early summer patterns. How do we get on a pattern, Jay? What is a pattern? Right. What's a pattern? A pattern is something that's recreatable. You can replicate it ad nauseum, right? It happens either all day. It happens part of the day. It happens for 15 minutes a day. It is something you've identified you can exploit, right? This is occurring. How do we find a pattern? Well, first and foremost, we need to be flexible in what we're doing. So we don't throw bucktails at the shallows and wait for that pattern to emerge. We need to be exploring the entire time. So I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of structure fishing or fishing mid shallow deep or the litany of approaches. But how do we dial in on a pattern, right? So let's say we're doing our due diligence and we're checking mid shallow deep, right? Or shallow mid deep, however you want to say it. We're checking high speed, low speed, in between speed, and we start seeing follows at XYZ. First thing I want to look at is the timing of this, right? So let's say, Jay, you're out. You know, you had a pretty decent day today. You go out and you saw some action, and what would you say? And it's a 20-minute window, 30-minute window?
Yeah, less than 45 minutes, I would agree.
So tiny, narrow window, 45 minutes. So we're going to make an assessment, Jay. One of our favorites. Jay, say it.
Make an assessment.
We're going to make an assessment on what happened in the most analytical way possible. So let's say that from 3 o'clock to 3:45, we saw three fish follow. One was hot, two were not. I'm making it up as she goes.
Right.
In that period, we were throwing a spinner bait. And we were throwing a dive and rise bait. And we got the follows.
Okay.
First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to look at my solar lunar data and go, did this correlate with a major, minor, somewhere in between? Yes, no. Right? If the major was at 3 o'clock on the nose, I might be suspect, right? So I'm going to look at that solar lunar influence. I'm also going to be observant and go, hey, at 3 o'clock, did a storm roll in, right? Did something happen climatically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, massive wind change of direction. Right? Something. Right.
So was there an environmental shift? So a pattern is not an environmental shift. A shift is a occurrence that happens out of nowhere. So if there was a storm front, a thunderhead coming in at 3 o'clock, and things popped off, that's not a pattern. That was an instance, right? But let's say that, and it's something that's occurred, and Jay, you've been saying it. Let's say at 3 o'clock, the sun is just beating down on the lake. It's the hottest part of the day.
Yeah.
Ah. And there's a narrow band where the sunlight is direct overhead, and it slightly changes angles. And for some reason, these moron fish are moving during that. I'm going to assess what's happening. So is it climactic? Is it solar lunar? Is it just a solar event? Is it a forage movement? What is happening? Figure out what is happening. You may not know it in the moment, but make sure that your sonar, whether it be downside scan, side scan, whatever it might be, live imaging, you're addressing that. You're looking at the sky, you're looking at the cover, you're looking at the wind shift, you're looking whatever it might be, right? So if there's a front coming in, that's not a pattern, that's an instance. A wind shift, not a pattern, it's an instance, right? You might find that pattern, or you might find a pattern that's extrapolated over a long time when these shifts happen on said body of water. But let's say it's just a typical day. If we find that window, is it solar lunar, or is it the sun's placement, or is it a heat thing? Is it a forage movement? What's taking place? Dig deep with every tool that you have. Can you hear the fireworks in the background, Jay?
I cannot.
It's already begun, folks. I can hear it. This happens every year. Tennessee, we basically give fireworks away. So if you hear pops in the background, it is crazy hillbilly neighbors. Anyway, so take the data you're given. Don't take it for granted. There is a reason, right? Dig deep. You know, use checks and balances and think what could possibly be going on. Once we've figured out what's going on, we can adjust for the timing thereof. Now, the way I dial in on a pattern would probably more so than anything be, is the forage staged in a similar way? Because a lot of times patterns, it's not going to happen every day at 3 o'clock. It might happen at 2:30. It might happen at 4:15. I'm watching for a similar grouping of bait, fish in a similar level of the water column, right? As far as bait fish. Now, another patterning thought process or philosophy is going to be similar areas. So let's say at 3 o'clock today, Jay's on moving water and things popped off from 3 to 3:45 off of a mid-river point. Well, guess what? The muskies are moving out of deep water holding areas and are moving up this point between 3 and 3:45 because the forage is making that movement. And that was pretty much what you saw today. The bait moved up at 3. They moved into mid zones. Muskies were slightly below that. You can exploit that, right? So we need to be spot checking throughout the course of the day for all the cues that this pattern is happening or is going to happen. Stay ahead of it. So smart poker on this deal is looking for the water cues, looking for the forage cues, looking for the environmental cues that's about to take place. The soft play, what people stumble into, is rolling up to the same couple of spots and going, okay, I'm going to cast here until it pops off. But if you think ahead and you use your electronics in a savvy manner, you're going to see that motion. You're going to see the grouping of the bait fish, the minutiae, the fine details, if you will, of what is taking place or what's going to take place. Now, using structure to our advantage, we're going to know where it's going to take place. So a pattern is, you know, what the typical things, where, why, when, and what, or whatever it is, right? What's going to happen? Why is it going to happen? And when's it going to happen? That's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Muskies are habitual. They're habitual in the manner that they will exploit easy prey. That's it. Baitfish are habitual because they're exploiting something, whether all the way down the food chain to zooplankton. Right? Something is taking place in some capacity that we need to identify.
Right.
When you can explain it and you go, the sun is hitting this back bay and bluegills are moving up shallow during this time and they're eating whatever it is, some larva off the surface.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? Once we've hit that point and you go, when that starts happening, I better be ready because muskies are about to crack off.
Like you just said, when you can explain it.
Right.
That's key. Pay attention to stuff. Right. Digest it. Mm-hmm. The little things. Look at the bait level. Yeah. You know, if you're fishing a system like I've been fishing, you know, it's like the water level's been going down. We're kind of in a drought here right now. And so there's no extreme deep water, but it's just like 9 feet is deep right now on the system I'm fishing. So it's just like, you know, bait's on the bottom.
Right. Absolutely. Jay, we have a caller.
Yes.
It is time for the lightning round.
Awesome.
I have Iggy on the phone. Iggy, are you ready?
You know it, buddy.
All righty.
All right.
So for the lightning round, you get one question. What is your question for the idiots at Muskie 360?
For I didn't even have a question ready, but so here's my question, because you keep avoiding my email when I asked you about this at one of the earlier podcasts, because I'm a long time listener, right?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
On the podcast here.
Meow.
You briefly mentioned some type of modification to a dancing rate, and every time every time I try to reach out to you,
because it's so good, I can't. Jay, hum a song. I'm gonna grab one off the wall. Hum a song. 5 seconds.
Absolutely not. Ming ding ding ding. Rap. Well, Iggy, the big news is, in my free time, I've been working on my debut rap album. I don't know if you know that.
Let's get a sample here.
Absolutely not.
So it's, I'm back.
It's top secret stuff. It's coming out soon, though.
Okay. We're going to work on it. Oh, I remember that email, and I'm not trying to avoid it. We get tons of email. So, big trick.
I know you're really busy.
Here's the trick on the Dancing Raider.
Mm-hmm.
And the Book Daddy himself has seen this smoke fish. So, Dancing Raider is a tiny little topwater bait. It's a very hard bait to get to walk the dog with traditional tackle.
I don't think so. I can do it with a really, really short leader.
Well, here's the trick, right? And you're going to see this, and you're going to go, this is ridiculous. And the first double nickel I ever caught was on one of these doing this trick. Take and put two short shank 7-0s, right? Mustad makes one, and Tyrant makes one. Then what you're going to do is you're going to cut down a leader, a straight piano wire leader, to 9 inches. It's not 10. It's not 8.5. It's 9 inches. You throw that.
Oh, smokes.
You throw that 9-inch leader with two short shank 7-0s. This bait is not going to walk the dog. It will dive subsurface and then jump straight up and down. I work it as fast as I possibly can. And people are going to go, that will not work. I don't care. Call Booker.
Uh-huh.
I've smoked more fish with it than anything I've ever done. High bright sun, dead flat calm. So that bait is going to go left, right, up, down. Left, right, up, down. So it goes, walk the dog for a second. And you're working it so hard with that short leader, it turns it. And so it'll jump out of the water straight up like a fling bait fish. It is exhausting. Yeah. And Jay, you've seen it. We used this. Iggy, I promise you, we did that stupid Todd and Dave skit a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
In one of the videos where I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Todd and Dave. I have a 6'6" St. Croix Premier in the boat for that one presentation.
Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave.
Shut up, Dave. Iggy. So, on a short rod. And it was from back in the day what had happened. I was just getting spanked on Eagle, and here I'm still fishing 7-foots and 6'6"s. And I just started burning the thing, and I went, okay. And then I shortened up the leader, and it was a 6'6" Premier with an Abu Garcia 5.3-1, and I'm beating the brakes off this bait. Beat as hard as you possibly can. Bam, 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 bam. Don't even turn the handle. The handle will turn itself. You just hold on to it. Short rod. If you got a broken rod, put a tip on it. 6'6" to 7 feet. Beat the brakes off that bait at sundown. You're going to catch a fish. I caught my first double nickel ever on it, and it didn't nip it. It was just gone. And it's so disruptive. It's so disruptive. So you're getting like a walk the dog wake bait and an up and down, what I call quote unquote jump bait. And the trick you always hear about, like a posed giant jackpot, you want to walk in its own wake, right? So this thing will go left, right, up, 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 up. And what happens is it's jumping in its own wake. I don't know why. Booker doesn't know why. He's seen me do it, and he's seen me smoke fish on it. But it works. That is my big trick on that. I can't believe I just told the world that. Holy crap. I've had about 14 of the things you put lime in that come in a glass bottle. But that is my, Iggy, that is my big secret. Okay. No, guys, for real, I'm being dead serious.
See, my secret from now on is I got to get you when you're under the influence of Pepsi.
Absolutely.
Then I can start asking you questions.
Well, that
I got the mad scientist here, by the way. He's in on the call.
Absolutely.
It's Xavier, my son.
Oh, Xavier, how you doing, my friend?
Good.
Very nice. Very nice, man. You guys, and I know, Iggy, you've been a big, long-time listener, long-time supporter of the podcast, which is phenomenal.
We were at the bash last year, remember?
I remember being, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, this year, we got the Musky Fight Juice and Randy Howe showing up. It's going to be phenomenal. But, honest to goodness, that trick, that is my Dancing Raider trick. Like I said, big, heavy, short shank hooks. And if you think you're working it fast, if that thing's not going left, right, up, down, it's like a cheat code. We did Mortal Kombat at the beginning of this intro, but it's like left, right, up, down, A, B, select, start kind of stuff. This thing is going berserk.
Oh, that's Contra.
Well, that's the Konami code, baby. Anyway. It's the lightning round for a reason. Jaybird, the first musky bait related question is:
most dangerous volcano of all time. Go.
Mount Vesuvius.
Absolutely.
That's correct answer.
That is actually amazing.
You thought it wasn't bait related, but it is. You wait and see, folks. That's all I can say, baby.
I've been there. I was there a long time ago. I did a short 4 years in the military.
Semper Fi, brother, right?
Yeah.
I remember. And awesome.
What brand of custom tackle boxes do I run in my boat?
Wreck and Rack.
Yes, Jay. Next question.
Go ahead and do another one. I'm not prepared.
All right, so.
He's thinking about songs for his new demo.
This is my rap album. It's all I can think about.
Jay is just obsessed, right? Jay is just...
Oh, yeah. Tunnel vision.
This is so bad. Folks, Jay and I prepare weeks in advance for each podcast, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, Iggy.
So you were thinking about this one when you're overseas?
I don't even...
Dancing to techno?
I don't even remember being overseas. Let me put it that way.
Derek had to remind him.
So,
thank God we called him.
I need to call Iggy.
All right.
There it is.
What glide bait utilizes a Lexan tail?
Oh, good question.
Manta.
Yes.
God, you're good.
So.
Yeah.
Would you like to settle for the basic prize pack or double or nothing?
What do you think, Xavier? You want the basic prize pack or do you want a double or nothing?
I got one. I got
double
one.
Double or nothing.
We have no clue. We're making it up as we go, Xavier. You're still going to win, but double or nothing it is, Jay. Go.
Okay. Here it is. All you got to do is think clearly, because this is simple stuff. In terms of glide bait and or dive rise bait options that come with soft tails, name a standout that you don't have to use glue on the tails.
Ooh, on both?
The Titan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, got a bunch of them. I got the juniors. I won't even tell you what kind of modifications. Yeah, we've been doing modifications of these juniors and the regular Titan, right, Xavier? We don't want to tell anything on the podcast, you know.
Oh,
we don't
want to give our secrets away. We can do that off camera.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Jay, I thought you were asking about like one of each because Nod of the Hat, Lynchum uses that pin. Like the custom Lynchums actually uses the center pin and the screw on.
Yeah, I was just looking for one, and Titan is a standout. So yeah, well, you know, because there aren't too many where you don't need glue.
Yeah,
Messing with glue in the boat is not never fun.
Did I ever tell you about the time I glued my hand to one of Booker's tackle boxes? He was not pleased.
Just couldn't let go.
Couldn't let go. Iggy, are you still there? Well, we got a big wiener, Jay. Ah, put your hands together.
An award wiener.
Award wieners. I went to Europe and got the award wiener, too. Me wiener. Anyway, yeah. Ignacio, Xavier, thank you so much for your support of the Musky 360 podcast. Jay Bird, tell them what they won. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. It'll be a special prize pack, just like a couple weeks ago. I've got your phone number and address, Iggy, so we'll get you something out early next week.
You won a washer and dryer!
That's awesome. Bye-bye.
Guys, thank you so much. Thanks for supporting the podcast. We'll talk to you later, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cheers, guys. Have a great evening.
Awesome podcast.
Thank you, guys.
You hear what he said? He listens to the podcast.
Thanks, buddy. That's awesome.
That makes me question.
Yeah, we both listen to the podcast a lot.
That makes me question your parenting, Ignacio. We are the worst. Yeah. Me and Jay are awful influences. I'm teasing. It's amazing.
No.
That's what it's about. Thank you for all the support, guys. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, have a good night, guys. Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Jay, how awesome was that?
Iggy and his son. I mean, that's great.
We interrupted early summer musky patterns for that. But, guys, use your electronics. Be smart about it. Look for patterns. Don't make it up. Don't phone it in. Dial in. Anyway, Jay, you're sending out the big – they went double or nothing. Can you believe that?
He's a gambler.
I cannot.
It paid off big time, though. He's going to get some cool stuff.
I cannot believe you're personally shipping a washer and dryer to them.
No, they're going to be lures.
Oh,
Steve.
Lures. Yeah. Lures.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not Maytag. It's a different brand.
I thought they had won a Maytag.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
Well, you know, I grew up every time I had strep throat as a child, I watched Price is Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you win when you win things.
You win, Bobby Barker.
We got a couple. Come on down. The first one up, Jason. Hey, Steve and Jay. Love the podcast. Thank you both for all the knowledge. I'm looking forward to reading your book. You both helped me become a better musky angler and put more fish in the boat. That's awesome, dudes. I'm from Kentucky, but I'm heading to Lake of the Woods for the first time for our annual Canadian trip. So my question is actually about braid this time. I've been using 65-pound and 80-pound Power Pro for the last two trips to Canada. I personally didn't have any problems with it, but my dad has had 65-pound braid snap a couple times, so I decided to do a strength test on the two. Both the 65 and the 80 were breaking anywhere to 22 to 38 pounds when I was testing them with my scale. Is there another brand or strength you'd recommend? I would hate to lose an expensive bait like a Headlock or worse, a 50. Thanks again. So, guys, I call them like I see them, strikes and balls and all this stuff, right, Jay?
Yeah, usually.
I had a very bad incident this year where I was able to take some braided line. I tied it to one end of a set of pliers and the other and break it with my bare hands. We all know I'm the most jacked guy in musky fishing and I can break 200-pound braid with my bare hands, right, Jay?
No.
I'm universally feared, correct? Do you remember the time I ripped two phone books in half?
No.
They were small phone books, though. They
you're making all this up.
They were for just the city. They were just for Conover. No. I ripped the
Conover. They were just for Conover. Well, I got the Medford edition here, and I'm telling you what, I could rip that in half, no problem.
It's
here.
It's a pamphlet. Chief.
Oh, it's a pamphlet.
Here's the deal.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, line.
So yeah. I had that gnarly experience over this winter.
Yeah.
And I was madder than a snake. So what I did is I found a bow weight scale, the pool scale.
Okay.
And was testing line with it. And I had some old stock line that would break in the 20 to 30 pound range. Not going to name names, but you get what you pay for. If I'm going to put dollars to donuts right now, I'm working on a project where we fix this, Jay, believe it or not. You've known that. Booker B. Sprayed, Cortland Masturbate. The rest of the big names I've had problems with. Sometimes when a company gets too big for their britches, they don't do quality assurance. So B-Sprayed cup costs a couple bucks more. It is a coarse line. You're musky fishing. You're not bomb casting. B-Sprayed is a PE 4 braid, right? So it's like polyethylene extruded line. It's a 4 braid. So it's a tighter, thicker braid, but it's going to be more coarse. More coarse, a low tensile strength, breakage, I don't know. I'm not even saying the verbiage right because I'm ridiculous. But B-Sprayed's not going to fail you. Cortland's not going to fail you.
Cortland Masturbate is excellent. That's my preference right there.
I will not say the other names, but those are the only two I'll look at for now, Jay. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, there you go.
Hunter. Hey, Steve, read the book, and it was awesome. Definitely learned a lot, and thank you for all the info. My question is, in your book, you say you're using a Musky Shop 18-inch leader that has a slock snap on them. Excuse me, I'm slurring, Jay. It's par for the course, really.
Yeah.
He said, I'll read it again. My question is, in the book, you say you're using Musky Shop 18-inch leaders that have a lock snap on them. Are you still using the no BS system with them by taking the snaps off and putting on a welded ring or split ring on the end of the fluoro? Are you not using the no BS anymore? If not, why? Or if you do, how? Because I cannot find any long leaders anymore. He goes on. Thank you. Dude, I appreciate you read the book. There's so many people that have been sending awesome messages about the book. Thank you, guys. That was a labor of love. I hope you learned something. So, dependent on presentation, jerk baits, glide baits, tubes, I will take the snap off a Musky Shop leader and put a Super 7 Musky Shop ring on it. Okay? That eliminates the snap. Most of the time, if I'm fishing blades or I'm fishing crankbaits, I don't mind. Right? Now, the caveat being, I work with musky shops, they're not fishing the same leader all the time. Back in the day where it was just like, I have to make my leaders last like crazy, nothing but no BS system, right? Now that I can tie a new one on every day, and you ask what the difference is, I'm being honest, because 5 years ago, I'm harping about it. If you're switching leaders regularly, don't worry about it. If you're grinding, if you're a new guide, if you're a serious fisherman, take those fluorocarbon leaders, cut them down, tie straight to the fluoro on the top end, forget the swivel, you don't need it, and put a big split ring on it so you got an OBS. Now, the thing I'll say is this, when I'm dialed in, we were talking about patterns here. Let's say I'm dialed in on a pattern with bulldogs or tubes, right, Jay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I know they want walleye whitetail. Take the snap off. Split ring and be done with it. The rest of us, if you're patterning, you're looking for a pattern, no BS can slow you down. You think it's fast, but it's like, I want to snap one on, snap one off. Inspect your leader regularly. Now, the other thing I'll say is this. If I have like a rod rigged up for rubber or a rod rigged up for gliders, I'll just have a no BS leader ready to go. I still make some of my own leaders, where it's like steel ring on piano wire and a split ring on the other end.
Yeah.
I'll make those up on occasion. So it's situational. I'm sort of flying by my seat of my pants. And there's other days where I go, holy crap, I haven't slept in 4 days. Let me grab a pack of Musky Shop leaders as they are and we'll make it work. So there's that, you know. In a perfect world where I had all the time to prep for every day. And today, Jay, did I have time to prep for today's trip?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, you told me about that. You did not.
I freaking found out. So, guys, I've never missed a guide trip, ever.
It was like a reverse scenario for the first time in like in a year. Oh. You called me.
Yeah.
And I was the one launching. And you're like, I'm just kicking back today. I'm going to paint some lures and get some work done. Yeah. Yeah.
I was painting Krakens out in the garage. I was painting Bates out in the garage. And like, Jay, what car do you want? And of this stupid thing I'm working on. And son of a gun, he's like, I'm about to launch, man. I'm like, dude, I got the day off. Then my phone rings. You're like, where are you at, man? And I completely left these dudes off the calendar. They're so nice about it. I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. I literally get out on pajamas. I'm covered in airbrush paint. Run over there. It was amazing. So, Jordan, hey, guys, long-time caller, first-time listener. I'm fishing in River System, North Carolina, and move muskies from time to time and see several different people catch muskies on smaller presentations, i.e. Ned Riggs, Rebel Crawdowns, sub-4-inch jerkbaits. What are some suggestions for smaller presentations? I would recommend Ned Riggs, Rebel Crawls, and sub-4-inch jerkbaits to start with. No, I'm teasing. Presentation of that realm. Okay, Livingston Jerkmaster, the bass bait, but put 1/0 trebles on it. What's the tiniest crane, Jay?
Probably like a 103, 104, something like that. You know, like a 104, 100 series, so like that bluegill type body. Yep. You know, a little bit deeper that cut to it. Body, it's not in a middle bit. Yeah, and yeah. Then I think we might have a few of those.
And there's a couple of these bodies of water, especially in the South, where they love tiny stuff. Micro Medusas, mini Medusas.
Big Fork, LAT Sandcat, the little 4-inch with the soft tail.
There you go.
Runs almost like a crankbait. Oh, that thing is sweet. That would be so sweet. Thing.
Don't be afraid to bass fish with a leader, though, too.
Yeah.
That would be a thought. Like, you can fight it. You know, it's one of those things of, like, you know, you can get mad at them or you can join them. Bass fish with a leader. I have caught a ton of muskie on Cinco's. Don't repeat that. Jay, only 7 people listen to the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah?
Me, you, Ignacio, Xavier, there's 4, your dad, Jim from the Muskie Shop, Eric. We've about got them covered. Jordan, right? Don't be afraid to fish 12-inch. Don't be afraid to fish 12-inch Cinco's. Get the big Cinco's and bang them off the bottom. It's kind of nasty. Brian, hey, guys, first off, I want to thank you both for all of your work you do on the show. Jay, we do so much work. We each episode has 400 hours of prep each week, Jay.
Right. I didn't even go to the muskie shop this week. I just stayed home and just practiced.
This is all scripted. I'm reading off the screen right now.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
I am well, dramatic break.
Steve. What's on the agenda for tonight?
Hello, my name is Steve. Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. This week's guest will be a guide you've never heard of, and he will try to sell you a trip. Anyway, Steve, I'm reading your book, and I'm working through the Read the Water chapter. While reading the consistent checkpoints portion of the specific question came to mind. When doing a bait fish check, first thing, are we patterning for midday fishing? In other words, is there specifically helping to target when we are not fishing shallow zones, early evening, blah, blah, blah. So what he's referencing is this. In the book, Next Level Muskie Fishing, available at the Muskie Shop for $19.99. I'm teasing. I've said it on the podcast. But anyway, I talk about reading the water where we have to make an assessment of what's going on. So, on any given body of water, whether it's my first day, my 100th day, my 10,000th or 40,000th day on this body of water, I check 3 places consistently that I know will possibly hold fish. Now, it takes a while to get there. Let's say, Jay, we're on like X, Y, and Z, and we catch 2 fish on bucktails, right? Guess what I'm trying to do after 2 fish? Go and get a read on bait fish so I will catch 2 fish for the rest of my life. Don't try to catch a 3rd fish. Learn something that'll help you catch 200 more fish. When things are good, take a moment of pause and go, why is it good? Go out and get a read on things. Go, you know what? All the bait fish in the main basin are not there. They're all up on the first break at 7 feet, and I'm catching muskies. Like, okay, cool. That's my shallow read. Then I'll take a mid-depth read and a deep read. Then on bad days, I'll take a mid, shallow, deep read. And so I'm getting this mental picture of what happens on good days, what happens on bad days, what happens on okay days, what happens on full moon, what happens on new moon. So it's not about midday bites. It's not about morning bites. It's about whenever I launch the boat and go, when the fish are staged like this, this is what's happening. It is the primer. It's the first key to unlock what muskies are doing. So I've seen it where, you know, Lake X, Y, and Z, I pull up and I do my shallow read first. There's nothing there. And I pull over and I check my mid spot and there's bait fish at 7 feet. And I do my deep check and there's nothing else. There's nothing at mid deep. I go, boys, we better troll. Bam. We get one the first hour. Right? Then my troll, we troll, and I hate to give up. I'm not a quitter. We troll for a while and nothing happens. I go, you know what? Let's eat a sandwich. I readdress and I do my check again. Spot one, spot two, spot three. The same places. And now the bait fish are deep. I go, guess what? We better troll deeper. Or I go, hey, man, the bait fish move shallow. We better cast. Make a logical assessment of what's going on. Find three consistent checkpoints regardless of time of day. Let's say you get off work at 5 and you can hit the water by 7 at sundown at 9. The first 10 minutes on the water are three checkpoints. It'll tell you everything you need to know. Now, they might be good checkpoints. They might be bad checkpoints. Find three spots, shallow, mid, deep, that you learn. So you go, hey, I checked shallow, mid, and deep before we started casting. And on the shallow side of things, I saw some what I think are crappie or walleye. And we caught a fish. And the next week on Friday when you get off work, you don't see that, but you see a mid. And you go, well, I saw the same thing I saw shallow last week, but I saw it mid now.
Yeah, and you're checking a familiar area. That's key.
It is fine. It doesn't have to be 1, 2, 3 on the same piece of structure. Find three spots and get that in your head where you go, I know where I'm at. I know what this lake is doing.
Sure, sure.
I know what the fish are telling me. The bait fish are telling me this. You might find that if I found shallow fish here, I don't catch muskies. Three key reference points every day. When it becomes habitual, it's second nature. Then the interpretation, the read of the water becomes, boom, instantaneous. You go, huh, this is what we're doing. Familiarize yourself with the waterway in the most extreme way possible. So, you know, what I'm giving up in next level muskie fishing is what I've learned over 8,400,000,000 days on the water. I'm trying to let you guys know, is like, if I've got one day a week to make it work, how am I going to maximize my efficiency? Right? It's not, you do the three key checkpoints the first trip out, it might not help you at all. But remember what you saw. Then do it next week and remember what you saw. And then start drawing corollaries between bait fish placement, three key checkpoints, and where the bite's at. It'll start clicking for you there. Anyway, what we got here? Jason, greetings to the Wayne's World of Muskie podcasts. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. My question is about the jackpot. What rod do you use? Is it a 9-footer or do you go with a shorter rod? And what leader do you recommend? Also, do you tee the hooks on a walk the dog topwater? P.S. Is Elmer still running for president? Elmer had to drop out because because political jokes are not cool on Muskie podcast. Anyway, in a perfect world, you would have a 5'4" jackpot rod. I'm teasing. I was telling Ignacio, I got a 6'6" man rigged with a Boo Garcia for that freaking Dancing Raider thing. I can't believe I publicly told everybody what to do.
I've seen it.
It works. And if you think you're going fast enough, you're not. Straight wire leader with a jackpot, preferably a shorter rod. If not, cock it off to the side. I can't work a standard jackpot on a 9.6, but I can work a Havana. But I would not discredit the point of, and I've done it before, you've got the Muskie Shop trolling rod. It's 8-footer, right? If I feel like we're game, break out your trolling rod. You got an 8-foot rod right there. Snappity, snap, snap. You got a good jackpot, weagle rod right there. You don't need a deep figure eight very often with topwater. They're going to pretty much eat that sucker. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be the case. Anyway, Jay, we have covered some serious turf.
Yeah.
It's been a wild ride.
Good timely stuff. Good early timely summer stuff. Pattern.
Well, we're rambling. Anyway, we did a lightning round. We talked to Eric from Livingston. We're going to do it next week. If you want to be on the lightning round, call Jay's cell phone number. It is. I'm teasing. Email the Muskie360 podcast under the Ask a Pro at the app. We'll get you on here. Jay, there's no losers. There's only winners.
No. No. And think of the benefits. I mean, Iggy, I mean, he rolled the dice. What'd he do? Double or nothing? What'd you call that?
Double or nothing.
Double or nothing? He's like, yeah, why not? I mean, he got through the volcano question with no problem. I mean, that's not easy.
He was going to get one K1's grub till he got two.
Yep. Well, he's going to get some cool stuff. I got some stuff in mind.
All right, Jaybird, say goodnight.
Night, guys. Thank you.
See you July 15th at the Muskie Shop Bash. Later.
Be there or be square.
Are you ready to fight? Muskie Fight Juice!
Muskie Fight Juice, the unofficial, official, semi-official, barely legal energy drink of the Muskie 360 podcast.
Get turned on! Crank up the volume on your figure eights and make them great with Muskie Fight Juice!
Muskie Fight Juice is banned in the following countries: the United States, Canada, Syria, Croatia, and Colombia. But you can get your contraband collector's can at the Muskie Shop Bash, July 15th.
Are you mad? Muskie Fight Juice includes the following ingredients: blood of the ancient ones,
the tears of the Kraken,
and volcano.
Side effects of Muskie Fight Juice may include
fighting,
poor lure choice,
Minocqua syndrome,
compulsive bait changing,
and uncontrollable bucktail burning.
If you or someone you know is suffering from Muskie Fight Juice withdrawal symptoms, get your can of Muskie Fight Juice. July 15th, Minocqua, Wisconsin, Muskie Shop Bash.
Come get some.